Fly on the Wall, Season 2, Episode 2, Dan, straight away.
There's a glaring change.
There's a change.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we tell the people what happened?
Well, as usual, it got to recording day and there was a slight panic. There was, oh my God, we're not going to be back for Episode 2. One episode back and we're not going to make the second. I said, no, Tim. I know you've had a long day at work. You're stuck there. I'll come to you.
Yeah, I've been absolutely swamped and you've made a huge effort bringing the cameras in.
It's probably an extra 20 minutes on the trip to your place, isn't it? I mean, it's commitment like that that keeps a show going.
And you brought a coffee. And we are filming, so, you know, if you are watching this on YouTube,
you
brought in a coffee. There's evidence there.
Great guy.
Dan, lots to chat about today. Last week, we mentioned that camera girl Caitlin wasn't here. Disappointing. She isn't here again.
She's not. Now, Tim, the episodes usually go about half hour, don't they?
They do.
We usually tick over the half hour mark.
Yep.
Last episode, episode one of season two, went 26 minutes.
Okay, disappointing.
What happened?
Well, what happened was we forgot to press record on one
now
of the
cameras.
Now,
we say we.
Oh, was it me?
We's loosely truthful, right. I guess. It was your camera that you were operating.
Really?
You missed two segments. So I had a lot of the in-between segments when we're sort of just chit-chatting amongst us and then Tim reaching over and going, all right, let's start it, and then the camera turning off.
And we didn't have our most famous and most loved segment, which is the rule book.
So no, we didn't.
We're missing a rule book.
We're missing a
rule
book.
From the first episode.
You know us, you feel naked when you don't have a rule book in that episode, don't you?
So we're going to come back today and we've got a rule.
Yes, we do.
Give to the people then. Yeah. Let's get the show started.
All right, let's go.
Dan, to kick us off today, I had an exciting weekend. Last weekend was full. It was Mother's Day.
An exciting weekend for you usually consists of not much. Well, your ideal weekend, on the couch.
That's right.
Takeaway for dinner, watching the footy, not really doing much.
Well, an exciting weekend for me. You're right, Dan. An exciting weekend for me is just leaving the house.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if I'm doing anything at all. If I leave the house,
it's eventful.
That's exciting. I went to the footy and I went to a gig after the footy, a concert.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge day. Huge day.
How'd you go getting through that? Were you all right?
No, I struggled.
Sunday was rough, wasn't it?
It was. But Dan, I obviously in my job, there are a few perks. I get to go to gigs and watch bands and stuff like that, which is a lot of fun.
Okay, yep.
And I had the opportunity to go and see Peking Duck.
Great. So free tickets?
Free tickets.
Jeez, how good's that?
Free tickets.
Comps.
Oh, amazing. And one of my favourite bands too. These two guys from Canberra, very good, very talented.
Yeah. Is it only two guys? I thought there was like four in there.
Well, there's a few members, but they're sort of the core.
Oh.
They're the core.
Oh, controversial.
Yeah. Adam and Ruben.
Someone's not getting credit.
Adam and Ruben, mates. Yep. They're mates.
Yeah.
And we were there with Adam and Ruben's label. The label were there.
Okay.
You know, the record label look after
them. Very ritzy, very classy, just rubbing shoulders.
Just name dropping.
Yeah, good.
And we got invited backstage. I was there with my colleague and good friend Leon. Emma was there. Ian was, like, we're all there.
Peking Duck, they're a pretty big band here in Australia, aren't they? I mean, they're on the radio all the time. Their concerts sell out. I mean, they put on a show. I can only imagine backstage going off.
Well, they're a big deal, Dan.
Yeah.
They even won one of the Australian Music Awards, Jesus.
Aria?
They won an Aria.
Yeah, there you go.
It was like best song of the year or something.
Okay.
Really big award.
Wow.
So they're big. They're a big deal. And when Ro came to us and said, guys, let's head backstage.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go see the boys. I just thought, wow.
What an experience. Instantly, were you thinking, oh my God, you know, will I tell Emma about, wait, did you say Emma was there?
Yeah, she was
My God, you're thinking, God, how's Emma going to handle all the naked girls back there?
Yep.
You know, the drugs, the
rock
alcohol.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll lifestyle, the groupies.
Walking in, all of those images come to you from movies. You've seen backstage. I've seen Justin Bieber's documentary.
Oh, man,
I know what goes on back there. Segways, people just on segways.
Yeah, yeah.
Just rolling around.
Why not?
They can.
Just blowing money back there.
Yeah.
So what was there?
Not much, actually. I was a bit disappointed because Dan, all of these things. Have you ever been to backstage at a concert?
Well, no. This is why I'm living vicariously through.
Okay. Well, a lot of people get to go backstage. That's the first problem.
They don't tell you that.
They don't just. Yeah, they don't.
So she's this person was a guy or a girl?
No, Ro is a man.
Okay, so Ro's come up to you and he's gone, let's go backstage. You're like, it's gonna be me and the band.
Yeah.
Not so.
One on one time with the boys. Nope.
Okay.
So there's lots of people there. Obviously, when I first went, okay, it's more people than I thought.
Well, that's all right.
That's okay.
You're gonna expect that.
Yeah.
often expectations can, you know, trump reality.
Yeah. What got me really confused was that there's backstage, Dan.
Mm.
But then there's backstage to backstage.
What's that look like?
There's, I don't know. Don't get to go in there.
Oh, so there's there is like this. There's almost, it's like, it's almost like the poor man's, it's where they let everyone come, congregate in here. Yes. You're backstage, but you're not, you know. Yeah. There's obviously the next room, but shh. Yeah. It's like first class, and then there's the, on a plane, first class, and then there's that little business section in the middle. It's not that different.
Yeah.
And then there's obviously economy.
Yeah.
They trick you into thinking that this is the same.
Yeah. So got in there, overcrowded, didn't meet the boys, which is a shame.
What's the point of going backstage?
They still put on an amazing show, but I was just a little bit, it was one of those moments in life where I go, oh, I'm going to tell everyone about this, and there's going to be one. I'll tell the grandkids one day. Probably won't.
I wouldn't. No. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim. So, you know me. Sometimes I like to just, I'll have a phone call just to, you know, skip over all the text, missing of text. And like, you know, sometimes you forget about a text. Sometimes it's easier just to get to the point, call someone.
You don't like writing big essays.
No.
You like to do a quick call. You're a quick call guy. Hey, mate, just a quick question.
Yeah.
And get it over and done with.
Often, at times, I'll be messaging somebody and they'll message me and ask me a question that it requires a long text. And I'm like, oh, it's just easier to call.
Yes.
I can understand this can be annoying, can't it? Is that annoying when somebody
does
that?
When you get a quick call?
Especially if you're not a caller and you're on the phone texting and then the person starts calling. You're like, what are they doing? I don't want to speak to them.
Well, Dan, we've spoken about this before. Mm. And my thing is that a call means urgency.
Okay,
that's my thing.
Mm.
So if someone's calling you, you kind of go, oh, must be urgent. Or they're misrepresenting urgency. This is not urgent.
Well,
you should just text me. That's my thing.
Well, it's interesting you say
really,
that.
You've really got to pull yourself up and go, is this urgent for a call? Or can I text this through and get an answer later?
But true, you aren't to know if it's urgent unless you answer the call.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's true too.
Yeah, great.
So, I've established with a close friend of mine that I'm trying to call them, and I never get through. So I can be messaging
busy person,
and then shortly after, call them straight to voicemail. No, they're on their phone recently. Now I'm at a point with this person where I'm actually not even thinking what I'm going to say to them when they answer. I'm preparing the voicemail.
Okay, so they never answer. Basically.
They never answer.
It's how do you know that they're on their phone? You know how you said, oh, well, I knew they were on their phone, so how did they not get this
call? Well, I mean, if we've exchanged texts recently,
right?
I know that they're with their phone. Within the last 10 minutes I'm talking, I'm a quick reply. Okay. I'm always on my...
Yeah.
The other little giveaway, Tim, active on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
Social media tells you, active, you know, 3 minutes. Instagram tells you, and it's like, well, you have to be on
You can't get away with anything.
No, you can't.
You can't
now,
hide.
Now, it's all good. It's all good, but I'm starting to think... What does it mean if this person, because they're the only one that does it, they're never answering their phone for me. So like...
Well, it's a close friend. It's a
That's what I mean. Maybe it's not as close a friend as I thought.
That's really awkward.
Do you start questioning the friendship?
The friendship. Well, I mean, I guess it depends how long you've been friends for, and we're going down another path now. It gets a little bit more, do I know this person?
Well, that's the thing. It's been so long, the friendship. I'm talking like most of my life, mate, that you start going... Was it a forced friendship at birth that they're maybe now trying to shake?
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, you can't control who your friends are when you're... Often parents introduce kids, you know, family, friends, that sort of stuff.
Well, I've known you for a long time. Do I know this person?
It's you, mate. You're the one I got the issue with.
Me?
You never answer.
Oh, for God.
You
never
answer.
Just stop.
Oh.
Dan, I want to talk about dress codes.
Okay.
For events, birthday parties. You know,
fashion.
Fashion.
Yeah. Being fashionable.
Yeah. Yep. Often you receive an invite, you know, for a birthday or a wedding or an engagement party.
Yeah.
And they'll always have a dress code. And I think they're really important.
They are. They are because there's nothing worse than when you don't actually know a lot of people going to an event.
Yeah.
You're maybe turning up by yourself.
Yes.
And there is a dress code and you're like, oh, I don't even have somebody to ask, you know, what that
means.
Wearing? Yeah. What are you wearing?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say what that means. Because what I've noticed lately, and I don't know if this is a generational thing or someone out there has decided the normal dress code's a bit boring.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Let's throw some interesting stuff out there.
Yeah, okay.
And it's really getting under my skin because it's confusing everything.
Give me an example.
It's all muddying up, Dan.
So you think that people are sick of the traditional dress codes that they throw at things, so now they're making up their own ones.
Well, I even wrote down, you know, some of the traditional ones, you know, that we're all familiar with.
Yeah.
White tie, black tie,
great.
Lounge suit, cocktail, smart casual, semi-formal.
Mm-hmm.
These are ones that have been propping up.
They've been around for
so
long that you start becoming more confident with them because you're more likely to have an event with that attached to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Dan, when something like summertime soiree pops up on an invitation.
I wouldn't think that's a dress code. I would think that's maybe a party theme.
Apparently is a dress code.
What?
Yeah, summertime.
What was the occasion?
Well, this was just an event on Facebook for a barbecue. Summertime soiree. I'm going back into the, you know,
you're
the
kidding.
Recesses of my invitation, but summertime soiree, what would you wear to a summertime soiree?
But that, and here's the issue with it. It requires analysis of things beyond the dress code, doesn't
Guidance.
It? Instantly you start going, you know, what's the location?
Yeah.
Now I have to start looking into that. Mm. Is it was it a house that you went to?
Yeah, it was a park. Dan, what would you wear to a fancy ranch? Dress code, fancy ranch.
Something cowboy-y, I guess.
Maybe a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but I mean, they haven't specified that. You turn up wearing a cowboy outfit, you look like an idiot if everyone else is in plaid.
But what are you to know? Because if that's your interpretation of fancy ranch, then that's okay. This is what I'm saying.
Fancy ranch, yeah.
I mean, everyone gets black tie. Everyone gets that. It's a black tie. Fancy ranch? There's some shades of grey in there. How about picnic chic? A friend of mine went to a wedding just recently.
Yeah.
And the dress code was picnic chic.
Picnic chic. I'm thinking something pink, and I don't even know why I'm thinking something pink. It's not that. What's that?
I don't know. It needs to stop. That's what I'm saying. That's what this is for. Everyone out there, if you've got an event coming up, stick to the basics. That's what I'm here to say.
I think your issues with the friendship group.
Yeah, potentially.
Tim, we touched on it earlier.
Mm.
You know, on a weeknight or even mainly a weekend, but, you know, even dabbling it on a weeknight after a long day at work, takeaway, just swinging past.
Well, you know what, Dan? It's become so accessible now.
Yeah.
With Uber Eats, Deliveroo, Foodora. I mean, the list goes on.
Why cook dinner at home when you can get takeaway?
Yeah.
You know, swing past the Chinese. Local Chinese shops, great. One of my favourites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that's concerning.
Yeah.
And it rang alarm bells for me the other day. I was in at the local Chinese shop picking up dinner.
Yeah.
And they said something to me after I'd paid that I thought, you know what? That's becoming common. And I don't know how I feel about it. The old, okay, there you go. Oh, and by the way, you're actually entitled to a 1.25 litre of soft drink on your way out. Bottle of soft drink.
Throwing a soft drink.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And I'm like, oh, everyone just grabs it. Oh, cool. I'll grab a Coke.
Yeah.
You head off.
Yeah.
You don't think about it much, do you?
No.
We should be.
Why is that?
If they're doing this with every order, Tim, they're not making money on soft drinks. So why buy them? Like their stock, they're paying to have this stock in their fridges, yet they're never, but no one's paying for them. So they're losing money on soft drink all the time.
Is the price hidden in the cost of the meal? Mm.
I think it is.
Yeah, okay.
Therefore, you aren't entitled to no free soft drink. Tim, because I think they're screwing us. I think they're making us think, what great customer service.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. I'm coming back here. They give out free soft drink with every meal. Untrue. Can't be true because they'd be at a loss.
They're being sneaky.
They're being sneaky. They're making you think, oh, no, you're not paying $3.50 for that bottle.
No.
Pay for your meal. Take the soft drink. I mean.
Well, they haven't got past you, Sherlock Holmes.
No.
I mean, they've.
I'm all over it, Tim.
Right.
And so here's my thing with it, right? How do we fix that? I mean, is it going to be on one of us to just pull someone up and just say, hey, you know, like.
Go up to the restaurant owner and say, thank you for that offer.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you a quick question, though. Is this what you're wanting to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Or turn it back on them. No, that's okay. That's all right. Thank you, though. Then they're like, oh, my God, we've charged them for it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, please take it. Why?
What?
Why?
Why? What if you tried. Try this.
Yeah.
And let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
When they do that and they go, hey, congratulations, you've got your special fry rice, you've got all that stuff. We're going to throw in a 1.25 Coke. Turn and go, actually, you know what? I've actually got Coke at home. Could I get an extra, like 12 dumplings? And then watch their face change.
Tim,
Dan, would you say that I've sort of become, my glasses are almost sort of synonymous with me. When you see me, you got to go, Tim, he wears glasses. It's kind of part of my, how I look.
Put it this way. We've said before, you and I dress very similar.
Yeah.
I'll often, if I'm going to be around you, not wear my glasses because I don't want to look like just a copycat or something, especially when coming to your work where that's your brand. People see you every day. And then if I walk in looking the same, they go, oh, he's looking like, trying to dress like Tim.
Yeah, right.
So the glasses are part of that.
And especially at work, because I always wear glasses at work, no matter what. I'm losing them. They're going.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to lose.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to be losing almost a piece of my identity.
Well, it almost becomes fashionable, doesn't it? It becomes something you take into account when dressing yourself in the morning. What goes with the glasses?
Yeah, that's right.
So what are you doing? Contacts, laser eye surgery? That.
Laser. Getting laser. So, I mean, you know, it's costly.
Yes,
it's a costly little operation, but I'm getting laser because I'm
sick. The money's not bad in podcast
I'm sick of wearing glasses, Dan. Mm-hmm, I'm so sick of it. And I've been telling...
Why? What annoys you about it?
Well...
Because I don't have to wear them as much as you, but when I do wear them, I feel sophisticated. I feel classy. I feel intelligent.
It's like anything, Dan. Mm. You get a new toy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exciting for a while.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
And this has a new feature and blah, blah, blah. But over time, you know, who has an iPhone 4 anymore? You know, things...
You got to update.
Things get old. And I go, you know, I used to feel a bit like Clark Kent when I put these on.
Yeah,
now I sort of... I've gone down from Clark Kent. I'm trying to think of another person who would be down on that level, but I can't. Robin. No. Robin and Batman.
Okay, wow. Well, yeah, never saw Robin with glasses, but yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you know, just feel a little bit not cool.
Yeah.
But it what's interesting is that when you tell people, same reaction you've given me, a little bit of shock.
Yeah.
We're going, okay, well, that's going to be confusing because I'm used to seeing you with glasses.
Well, Georgia's just done it too. She's traded the glasses out, but for the contacts.
Yeah.
So to hear you say laser eye surgery, on top of the existing shock, I'm now going, whoa, big spender.
Well, interesting that you say that because some people do go to the money. When you say laser eye surgery, they go, whoo, cashed up.
Yeah.
Others remind you straight away of just what could go wrong in laser eye surgery. Now, the reason I brought it up...
that'd be me. What can go wrong?
Well, this is the thing. You and I, you especially, don't like doctors. You've got white coat syndrome big time. You could go in for a flu and you think that you're done in a few days.
Oh, yeah.
But what I found is telling people, you know, people asking me, oh, you know, why are you getting that done? And you go, no, I just don't want it. Well, it's a big risk.
Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion, don't they?
Is it? What's the big risk? Because I've just come out of the surgery and they've told me all the statistics and now I feel fine. Well,
no. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Someone went blind 2 years ago in Canada with laser eye surgery. Now, Dan, what I'm here to say, because this is like a little soapbox for us.
Yeah.
Something that's just sort of, we can get out here and we can tell people.
Yep.
If someone's going in for minor surgery, don't turn around and tell them all the cons about it.
Yeah.
Don't tell them. Chance of death with that.
Tell me this. Did these people also wear glasses?
Some of them do have glasses and contacts.
I think it could be a jealousy thing.
Yeah, I reckon
too. Very jealous of the cash. All right, Tim, we just touched on it. Now, I can be a little bit of a hypochondriac. Let's be honest. Scared of dying.
You are. You have a massive fear of death, and I've told you for as long as I've known you.
Yeah,
it's just part of it all. It comes part and parcel with life, Dan.
I know, but you just said, Tim. You know, sometimes everyone wants to have an opinion on your own issues. Sometimes they shouldn't. No matter what you say, still gonna be scared of death. Now, that extends outside of illness. I was flying the other day.
You flying. You in a plane. I'll just quickly say.
Okay.
When we went to Bali.
Easy.
Went to Bali with Dan. Yeah. Family holiday. And white knuckles, just gripping the armrest. I always thought of that.
Yeah.
That image as like, it's from a movie. It's a comedy movie and they're sort of inflating that feeling. This
found,
is real.
Found
Some
that
people
funny.
Have it. Dan grips the chair. Thanks, white
mate.
Knuckles. Yeah. Very entertaining.
No, and it is. It's a real issue for me. Now, can you imagine George's experience when she just flew with me for the first time ever?
Yeah. There she is thinking, you know, I've snagged myself a bit of a macho man. Bit of a, you know, you box. You're pretty tough sort of a guy.
To compensate for my fear of death, I guess.
Get in a plane.
Yeah. Not so
all
much.
All falls apart.
Yeah. It was eye-opening for her. Absolutely. But it got me thinking, when I'm sitting on that plane and I'm looking around, taking in my surroundings, I realized what I do. And what I do is I look for reassurance. throughout the whole plane, from the moment I board to the moment I exit.
Okay.
Got me thinking, do you do the same?
I guess you do.
Do you have a fear of flying or not?
I don't really. Yeah. But I think anyone who walks onto a plane is going, okay, you know, this is, it seems like a structurally sound mode of transport.
Yeah.
But like anything, mistakes happen.
They certainly do.
There's a lot of technical things involved in flying that we don't understand.
It's too thinky for us. We can't wrap our little heads around how this thing gets in the air.
That's right.
That's natural.
Yeah.
So what I like to do is when I'm boarding the plane, if you're boarding from the front, you can have a quick look in the cockpit where the captain is.
I do that, yeah.
Check out the captain.
Absolutely.
I don't know about you, mate, but age plays a factor in the captain for me.
Yep. Massively.
But they can be too young. Can't be too old. Can't be too old.
I agree. Yep. If you walk into a plane, have a quick look in the cockpit, and you see any grey hair, it's a sure sign that, okay,
well,
land. This thing's going to land.
Yeah, because you know what? They've probably had issues.
Hundreds of
planes.
And
they're still here to tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a huge thing for me. Mm. The next thing would probably be the captain's little spiel he gives when he gets on. Yeah, captain here, currently sailing out. You know, that whole thing that they do.
And when they're really cool, calm, collected,
absolutely.
The delivery is nicely paced.
Yes, maybe a joke. Yeah. Maybe a joke in there just to let you know, I'm so relaxed, I'll throw out a joke.
Yeah.
Nothing's going wrong.
Yeah.
What I don't like, though, just quickly, a little red flag for me, can be when they say, should be smooth sailing. Yeah. There's a variable there, isn't there? What's the should? What's the should?
Yeah.
And now, if anything does occur throughout this flight, I'm going to think something's wrong because you said it should be smooth.
Yeah, he's sort of set it up to be a smooth flight, so you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So that can be an issue, but
what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of thinking as you enter a plane.
Okay, yeah,
for you,
no, definitely. I probably
your mind is racing.
It is because then to my move to the cabin crew, and they're the ones you're interacting with the most. You can see them from start of the flight to the end of the flight.
Yeah.
So any sign of, I think something's wrong, I look to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To go, do they look concerned?
Okay.
So what do you look for in a cabin crew? If you're somebody that has a fear of flying, what would you be looking for?
I would look to the cabin crew for confidence.
Yeah.
And just confidence.
Just confidence?
Just a confident crew.
Okay. Well,
that's
probably
what I'd be looking for.
Yeah, no, you have less expectation than me.
Yeah.
I like them to be quite active with the cart.
Okay.
Nothing's going wrong if they're pushing that cart up and down.
That makes sense.
Yeah, true. I mean, as soon as the cabin crew's seated, we've got an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, so they must not sit.
I reckon we need to book you in for some sort of psychology or something.
It'd be very interesting to see what they come back
with. Dan, so a very funny story, but also dangerous, maybe dangerous story out of the US today. A woman has allegedly, they say allegedly, but I think she has, because she's been fired from a workplace. I'll tell you why.
Okay, serious misconduct.
Yeah. She's baked brownies laced with laxatives.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were meant for a departing co-worker who she had a previous spat with. So someone...
The final punch, just the final one-upsmanship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it just straight away... Workplace revenge.
Yeah.
You just go...
Well, it's sort of the story you hear and you go, oh, wish I could do that. Wish I had that in me.
I wish that I had the smarts for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true.
I wonder how long it took for her to go, right, that bitch has had the wood over me for so many years now. She's leaving. What am I going to do? How long has she been sitting on that plan to bake some brownies with laxatives?
Well, I mean, the issue with a brownie is it's problematic because it instantly invites people to be like, oh, can I grab a bit?
All of a sudden, your revenge plan affects more people.
Yep, collateral damage.
Yeah. But obviously, she was happy to have that collateral damage. It's like any decision, any warfare decision. You sort of go, well... At least we'll get the main target.
There'll be casualties.
There will be casualties.
Well, that's true. Like, I mean, look at war.
Yeah.
Plenty of people die. I mean,
they do.
Should we compare the two? Probably not.
Probably not.
But
it's a style of warfare, Dan, in the workplace. But also, it's a clever revenge because I know I struggle with dairy. You do sometimes. Chocolate brownies. I mean, I've never had a specific experience with chocolate brownies, but you could go home and still go, it must have been the brownies, but not... thought
true.
About the
laxative. She could have used bad milk or
that's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a clever little revenge thing.
But almost, is it not true that if you're invoking revenge on somebody, do you not want them to know about it? Like, do you not want them to go, ah, damn, Susan, she got me?
Well, she got fired, so I assume that's happened.
Yeah.
I reckon they've gone, oh, my God, these were laced with laxative because all of us got the shits. And then she's turned around, let's say her name's Susan, gone, that was for you, Claire.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, about, sorry, everyone else, but that was for you, Claire.
Sometimes the best evil masterminds take pleasure in claiming their work.
Absolutely.
And so you should. If you're going to work that hard, it probably took her a couple hours to whip them up.
100%. But Dan, it made me think. I mean, I haven't really had any incidents lately that I can think of.
Yeah.
But I know often, you know, when we catch up, you sort of say to me, you know, obviously works, you work with a lot of people, you're working with customers a lot, it's a lot of face-to-face stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff would grind your gears on a daily basis.
Mm.
I thought, and when I saw this, I thought, I reckon Dan's probably had a workplace revenge thing happen. And just by looking at your face right now, I can tell that I've probably hit the nail on the head. So what happened?
I did do one thing I wasn't proud about.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
A while ago.
Really?
A while ago. I had a very difficult customer.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
Right.
And, you know, it was, they were going into watch a movie.
Do we want to record this? Like, you know what? You've started.
I've started. Let's just go for it. Let's go for it.
Good.
And as, you know, they were rude to everyone around them. Yep. And I thought, you know, stuff you.
Yeah, karma.
Stuff you. Yeah. And they went in to their movie. And the movie started. And I left the lights on.
In the cinema?
Mm.
For the whole movie?
Until they had to get up and come out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I went, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry I had to come out and miss some of your movie. Revenge.
Okay. That also, just quickly, you were talking about collateral damage, how it's not great. Were there other people in the cinema as well?
There was. Didn't feel great about that.
Okay.
Tim.
Dan.
It's time for
Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, the book of rules. Tim and Dan.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
Oh, God. I'm so glad we're doing a rule book this week.
Well, we missed last week.
The last episode, I listened to it through. I thought, I mean, you know, it's okay, but there's no rule book.
Well, my phone, we got messaged on Instagram a few times from people.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what was going on because obviously you do the video side of things.
Yep.
We haven't explained this before.
Yep.
You know, Dan does cut this footage that you're seeing together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I work with what I've got.
Yeah. And it didn't appear. And then so I started getting messages going, what's he done?
And then you messaged me going, mate, you've stuffed it up. You forgot the rule book. I said, no, mate, you stuffed it up. You didn't record it.
Didn't film it.
Yeah. So
let me just check I'm filming this. Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All right. Now, I've got the rule book.
Yeah, what's the rule?
All right. Okay,
what's
I've got one. First one back for season two.
Yeah.
Now, when I said earlier, Georgia and I went away recently, and Georgia loves to do crosswords and stuff. She'll buy like a little book. She's like a little old lady like
that.
Yeah, she's lovely.
She's kind of like 21
simpler
going
times.
On 80.
Yeah, you know, like most would sit on their iPhone or something. She's, you know, getting out the crossword.
It's kind of nice.
It is nice.
Does Georgia also send handwritten letters?
She likes to write notes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was joking, but okay. Yep, she does do that as well.
Anyway,
good on you, G.
Sorry. Now, when we're on the plane, in an attempt to distract me from my fear of death, George is like, "Let's work with me on some crosswords." And I was like, "Okay, isn't this fun?
It's cute.
It is cute." And because you're on a plane, you're not attached to your phone because you can't be messaging stuff. It's just you two enjoying a crossword.
Yeah, right.
Now,
like just being back in 1922.
Yes. Yeah. Simpler times.
Yeah.
We're sitting there, and naturally, I become quite frustrated when I can't think of a word or I can't work out, well, how many letters is that? Oh, it's too many.
Yeah. Got to have a really good vocabulary for crosswords.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Georgia and I seem to have a disagreement on how long you have to attempt something, anything, before you can cheat and just, you know, flip to the back and look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the answers in those sort of things are always at the back.
They give you the answers.
But like anything, there's always cheats to things. So how hard or how long do you have to try at something before you can cheat?
Is this just quiz-based stuff?
Yeah, quiz-based stuff.
In the quiz, because I know in the paper every day, they do a quiz and they hide the answers upside down on a different page.
Because, I mean, we've all got things to do, Tim.
Mm. Definitely does need to be a rule around this because I feel like there's probably a lot of time wasted, Dan. So we need to help people because we can save them hours probably in a year.
Not to mention, you don't want to have too many people that are sitting there going, finish that crossword. And it's like, okay, but how quickly did you cheat? So people need to be ticking off. I waited, you know, my 2 to 6 minutes or whatever it might be that we decide, you know?
You know who this rule's going to really help?
Who?
Our grandma.
She'll love
who's
this.
Who's a big fan of the show.
She'll love this.
Does lots of crosswords.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of crosswords. Does Veronica. Dan, this is interesting. Mm. I reckon, do we need to put like a timer? Do you need to have a timer nearby when doing a crossword, when doing a quiz?
Yep.
That you set. So you read the question, boom, 2 minutes on the clock.
Yeah, that could be good. Maybe it's something that's incorporated with the crossword book that is sent out or with the newspaper. There's your newspaper and your stopwatch.
Or an egg timer.
Oh, an egg timer. Now we're talking.
Or maybe a sand. Timer. What are those sand ones? The sand.
I thought that was an egg timer.
Okay. Maybe they should send out those.
Well, we could do that, but I mean, that involves a lot more work. But what we need to do before we can contact these people and be like, can you incorporate that? We need to decide how long.
Okay. So let me get this straight. Mm. Were you going, let's check the answers quite soon? Or were you on the other side? Okay. You were going, let's move on.
I'm pretty quick. I'm going, okay, let's focus one word at a time. What is it? What is it? Oh, God.
And how long was Georgia sitting on them for?
Look, I reckon I was probably going for like 3 minutes. And that's a good thing.
I reckon 3 minutes.
On the one
word,
Georgia's more like, let's come back to it. Mm. Or she'll be like, no, come on. She's probably looking for more 5-6 minutes. So probably double the time.
Okay.
But then you're sitting there doing a crossword for a couple of hours if you're allotting that.
I'm going to say 2 minutes.
Mm? Mm?
120 seconds.
Okay, for a word. Because surely, if you're going to get it, it's going to come to you in that time.
That's right. And if it doesn't, you shouldn't be doing crosswords.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay,
what do you reckon?
Are
you
going to
debate
minutes.
That or are you comfortable with 2 minutes?
Well, I was hoping you'd say something short like 2 minutes because, I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of people who don't. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're the ones making the rules.
That's true. Georgia, you got 2 minutes.
It's now 2 minutes.
In the future, and then I'll be straight to the back.
So, Dan, the rule is, nice
rule
and succinctly,
is, yep.
succinctly when doing a crossword puzzle,
must attempt each word for 2 minutes before then being allowed to flip to the back, check the answer.
Great.
Great.
I like that rule.
Yeah, so
good.
Simple. That was one of our most clear-cut
ones.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, good.
Anyway, Tim, that's another rule in
Tim and Dan's rule book. Dun, dun,
dun, the book of rules. Tim and Dan. Dun, 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 dun. Joined in at the end there.
Good. I liked it. Dan, that wraps up episode 2, season 2.
Yeah.
I just realised as well, last week, sometimes at the end of the episode we go, you know, Dan, next week I want to talk about this.
Yeah. It seems like a good idea to do, doesn't it? It's like tease the next episode.
Yeah.
Weekly episode.
Yeah, and I didn't bring up either of the things I want to talk about.
No, completely forgot.
So I'm not going to tease anything for next week.
No, better to not.
I'm just going to say, next week I'm going to have some stuff to talk about.
And I will have... more stuff.
Hey, there it is. Dan.
So that's a tease.
Dan, people can get in touch with us. They can submit rules. They can say hello. They can do whatever they want on our socials.
Tim and Dan Graham, Instagram.
Yeah.
Tim Dan Tweets, Twitter. One day I'll stop plugging that. Not yet, though.
Very active.
You're very active, almost too. Tim and Dan on Facebook. Search us. You'll find us there. Like us. YouTube is, Tim and Dan, but you got to... filter it through the channel, search it there, it'll come up, subscribe.
There's a stack of videos there on the YouTube.
Heaps. There's like over 50 videos or something. We just punching them out.
You pump them out, don't you?
Yeah. And the other one was iTunes. Subscribe.
iTunes.
Fly on the wall, Tim and Dan.
Absolutely. Give us a little like and subscribe.
That's good stuff.
This is very good, Dan. Dan, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure sitting down with you, catching
always
up. Thank you for... coming here.
That's okay.
To my work.
I quite like it. It's cozy.
It is nice, isn't it? Nice lighting as well.
Yeah.
How's my skin?
No doubt we won't be able to. You look great.
Great. Yeah, so do you.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
Very good. Okay. See you.
All right, bye.